Welcome to Apostates on the Fringe. I'm going to start with it right there. Let's go. Dustin over there on the mic.
Jesus Christ.
Got Al over here next to me.
So I'm going to drop in for our listeners who aren't in this room. Sam is the fucking worst at being cued in for literally anything. Like when there's edit breaks and I'm like, okay, Sam, just for the sake of my sanity, I need you to redo that line because there was a break there. And, like, there's four or five attempts, but this time you couldn't even get the name of the fucking show right.
I'm great at ad-libbing. You put me on. It's on the spot, you know?
So he couldn't get the name of the show right because he ran that free thought forum for a lot longer than you've done this. But, like, there were three solid attempts where you just reverted back to free thought forum. Look.
It's just programmed in my brain, and it's not gone. Even
I do that with things, though. Like I'll do things right, and then all of a sudden revert to something from several years back. I'm like, where did it come from?
Well, and I blame Sam for this one last week. Last week, Sam opened up with calling it Elon Gate, and then so later on, I was talking about Elon Musk, and I said fucking Elon Gates, it just fucked with me. But I was like, I can't leave it in. Fucking, I'm not sounding like an idiot, so I hyper edited it out. If anyone who was really paying attention, they would have caught
it.
Maybe
they should date. Their wives keep leaving them. You need to just hook up.
So before we get into it, what do you last one? Is this your last pastryarchy?
Yeah, last pastryarchy. It's
been fine aged in my refrigerator again for another week.
They're high percentage, so you know I only need one beer, and then I'm still smashy by the end. Who knows what I'm going to be saying at the end of the show?
Right on. I'm going through now that I know where to find it. The Zoll Beer Company here in Knoxville. Talked about it last week. I'm going to go through there. I'm actually trying to go through their entire catalog and see how it does.
They change it so much. By the time you get done, they'll have new ones.
That's fine. This one though, I'm breaking my own rule. It's a rule that I typically don't drink IPAs, but I will at least try this one. And if I hate it, I will just never go back to it. Because again, I don't prefer them. I can drink them. This one is called Paper Crowns, and it is a IPA with citrus and citra. I don't know, cryo. I don't know what that is. But anyways, it's obviously a very hoppy IPA. Something kind of like Going Coastal, which is Sweetwater, which is another one I can stomach, but not as like tropical as they try to do it. It's not horrible, but I will not be picking this one up again. I will obviously keep going down the line. The next one, if they still have it, is something about body scars or something like that. It's just more IPAs. I didn't get there early enough to get to the unrefrigerated section. Mm-hmm. Unlike you, like you'll just roll up with a fucking warm-ass beer and try to stick it in my freezer for 20 minutes before the show starts, and I can't do that. It has to be like fucking 30 degrees before. Yeah. So I can't do it. And no beer for you, Al?
No, back on water.
Tasty, tasty, delicious water.
Mm-hmm. California sober.
California sober?
Yeah.
What's California sober? I've heard
that's
it.
It's what you don't drink, but you do everything else.
No. right. Right, I saw a meme that says something about not drinking, but it was like every other like schedule. It was like acid.
Yeah.
ketamine, weed. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you saw that same one.
I mean, but fair, alcohol is pretty stupid to like binge on. Beats your body up and makes you feel like shit the next day, and costs a lot if you want it.
Especially if you're going out, like to a bar.
It's a lot of calories.
It's a lot of calories too. Yeah, beer's just kind of dumb sometimes.
Beer. Yeah, for me, it's insanely hard to even get drunk on beer, like because it is so filling and calorie heavy. Especially some of the darker ones, I really, really can't do that. So if I do drink, I'll do like low calorie shit, like you know, vodka and seltzer water. Which is maybe 80 calories per drink, so it's not...
I don't really like getting drunk anyway. I'm okay with a little buzz. Like, that's all I really care for is a buzz. I always regret getting drunk.
I don't say I haven't regretted getting drunk in such a long time when I had a real, real hangover, which I don't really get anymore.
Even without a hangover, I still
I don't really have that issue. But sometimes I regret getting fucking crossfaded because I fucking placed a DoorDash order at 1 a.m. and fucking woke up at 6 a.m. with it on the fucking door, which I've done probably once or twice. You know, not recently, but
never
it's
done that.
Happened. You've never done that before?
Never.
Never just done a well, that's I've done this, so it's fine. It's fine. I'll do it again. Like, it will happen again because I will be, like, getting high as fuck and like, drinking the whatever. And then, like, I don't want a food. And then fall asleep before it gets there because I make poor decisions. You know who else makes poor decisions?
Elon Musk.
The Muskrats at it again.
The Muskrats. So I heard people, that's what they're calling the fans of Elon Musk, who,
Muskrats,
despite all the dumb decisions that he's been doing and like all the, like, he can't make up his mind.
He's a master, you know, you don't even see, he has plans upon plans.
Yeah, but none of his plans are really, like, working out. Like, all these people just came out and instantly started trolling him by changing their verified name to Elon Musk. Them. And they immediately started getting suspended. That, like, Kathy Griffin was one of the first ones more prominent ones. But I heard, like we mentioned before, how easy this platform could be to be with bad actors. I think you had seen the post where it took him 25 minutes to use a VPN to set up an Apple ID with an anonymous email and then go through and create a verified account for a prominent user. Like, and he's like, imagine if a bad actor or some other foreign entity did this. Like, they can create and sow all this disinformation. And now that there's no disinformation employees at fucking Twitter to fight this, like, it's just going to get fucking worse.
Some 18-year-old kid set up an account in some, like, sportscaster's name and started, like, pushing out all these fake headlines that were, like, major news. And, like, that fucked with people because they were believing it because he had the blue check mark next to his name. So, yeah, so I guess his solution was roll out a gray check mark.
For, like, a few hours.
Yeah.
And then they're like, where'd it go? He's like, he just tweets out, I killed it. There's going to be a lot of dumb shit that's going to be happening with Twitter as we figure out what works and what doesn't work. And
it's not like this, like, you know, website's been, like, working for
functioning,
like, for a dozen years so far, but we're figuring it out as we go along.
Yeah, so the paid blue, the check mark just shows that you are a paid user of Twitter.
That's all
it
shows.
It's like a badge of honor for people who fucking purchased WinRAR back in
WinRAR
is a service that
you're telling me $8 a month to be able to troll people, because that's what it's going to come out to be.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing with it right now.
Yeah.
Everyone is just trolling with it.
I mean, it's been a good week for us lefties who hate the rich, because Elon Musk has lost a shit ton of money
on
Twitter.
He's lost a ton of
and
his
personal network. Another crypto crash yesterday.
Did you hear the most, I don't know if it was OA last week or the week prior, but how much he lost?
Oh my God. It was more like 80 billion,
closer to 100 billion, I think, with the purchase and everything he had with his sales that he
the
had to,
sales
of Tesla,
and he just sold more.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, so he's just, and now he's, isn't Tesla, like, shareholders suing him for taking the company?
They're either already filed it or in the process of
it. Would make sense. He's on the board of directors. He's CEO of Tesla. Like, he has an obligation to their shareholders of the company. When you're as reckless as you are and costing them money, like, when you start costing people money, that's when they're gonna come after you. And
yeah,
he's
when
costing
you
a lot.
Sell that many stocks, it fucks with the price of everyone else's stocks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're supposed to be protecting their interests there. And then there's also, they're saying that him being the CEO of so many companies is dividing his time, and that is further causing a loss of profits for the company.
I mean, someone did they said this thing on same thing on OA. I can't talk same thing on OA, but there's also several memes like, how are you going to be CEO of three companies? Like, obviously, there's not much involved if you could be a CEO of three. I mean, very like,
it's more
big
than
companies.
Three though, isn't it?
As far as I know,
I thought he has some smaller companies too.
I don't know if he's CEO or I'm not sure. All I know is that besides SpaceX, Tesla, and now Twitter, is as far as I'm aware of the major ones. I mean, I'm not sure what any of these smaller.
It's his big three.
The big three, you know. I fucking love OA talked about. Now he calls himself the chief twit on fucking Twitter.
Yeah.
But what's the what was the dumb shit? Tech wizard or some stupid shit.
Yeah,
in fucking
tech
space.
Wizard, Tesla, or all of them had ridiculous names.
Yeah, he thinks he's so fucking cool. He's like, hey there, fellow kids.
He does think he's so cool. It's but
because
you can see how insecure he is with like people mocking him and his little temper tantrum of banning them all. Yeah, he's an insecure little man, but his money has gotten him everything in life. So
as it always does, that's how evil always wins, because they have the power and the money to evade, excuse me, all of life's problems that other people have to deal with. And he's just one of those too rich to fucking anything go wrong in his life. Now he took a hit, but he's still way wealthier than we will ever fucking be in our lifetime.
I mean, that's a significant hit that he took, but it's not going to be long-lasting effects. Like, it's not going to hurt him that bad, but that's significant.
Oh, yeah. it's for him, but for, you know, any, I don't know how to put that into words, because I would never even see $1 billion in my lifetime, let alone $100 billion that he lost.
I mean, if you make that much money, if you're like, losing $100 billion is still going to affect your life in a way. It's just not going to be going to ruin your life.
I don't know that if you still have $100 billion and you, like, if you had $200 billion and you still have $100 billion, that's still an instant amount of money that you can never spend in your lifetime. Now, as a status of, like, you know, his ego was hit. You know, that's all in this one. You know, as the richest man.
I don't know if now that statement is true of not being able to spend that much money in a lifetime. Look how much fucking everything's going up.
Apparently, he lives like dirt, because if you've read interviews with Grimes, Grimes said that she never saw any money from him. He would come and slum at her place, and that he lives pretty low on his means because he's one of those rich people that want. He's pretty much the Scrooge who won't turn his lights or use oil. Like, he saves every dime that he
like
can.
Like, just to be as rich as fucking possible and retain every little cent.
To get started, his first companies, he lived at the businesses. So yeah. He wouldn't have to pay,
He does kind of live like a poor person, according to what things Grimes has said. So, if he was dirt poor, I mean, he wouldn't be able to buy Twitter, but he knows how to live like a douche.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, I've heard of several rich people kind of doing the same. Not like to the level of staying at a business instead of your home, but I've seen like where a lot of people, like, they don't like to live lavishly despite the amount of money that they really, really have.
Yeah.
Except the properties that they fucking own, obviously. I mean, he can get whatever he wants anytime.
Yeah, he has those options.
Yeah, so it's, I don't pity this man for losing all this money, but it is funny to just watch this calamitous, disastrous performance of him not really knowing what to do with the company that he just didn't really have any intentions of purchasing.
We'll be here to talk to you about it all next week.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because it's bullshit. And it's just hilarious bullshit.
Yeah, because it's like...
Because it doesn't really affect us. I mean, Twitter's dead. Twitter's gonna die. Like, it's gonna... There's gonna be a point where it becomes...
I don't think it's gonna survive.
No, I mean, as long as he immediately bitched about all these advertisers being pulled out because they were pressurized by radical leftists.
No, apparently the advertisers pulled out when they heard that he was going to buy it, and they asked him, like, hey, what are your plans with it? And he's like, waka, 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 waka. And they're like, you know what? I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Twitter has lost value. Now, it's kind of regained some of that. It's, you know, I looked at the trading price of it the other day, and it's kind of rebounded a little bit, but... You know, he's still lost a ton of fucking money on this purchase, and it's still, it is not a successful company. Like, it ran for a while, but it was, you know, losing money annually on its income, a negative net income, and so his decision to fix that was to literally fire that was a huge percentage of the workforce.
And then he started hiring them back because he realized he needed them.
Again, genius, brilliant, yeah, brilliant man, all the genius moves.
I just saw a tweet that said he's running a business like Ayn Rand said billionaires should run a business, and it's hilarious. Like, none of these fucking business savvy, quote-unquote, people actually know what they're doing. I mean, the thing is that once you become rich enough, you can make dumbass mistakes, and then it doesn't fucking matter.
I mean,
lost $22 billion. Oh, well. Like, they can afford to make dumb shit mistakes and keep surviving.
Well, to my point earlier, if he's CEO of three major companies, he's not doing a lot for that. So he's not really involved in, like, he's letting other people handle the majority of things. But right now, his new pet project seems to be
vanity project.
Yeah, that's what it is. And that's
why. It has to succeed, because if it fails, he fails. So he's not going to drop it because it's a reflection of him personally.
Like, I think he will eventually abandon it.
No, he'll never
sell
it.
You think so?
He won't sell it because it's personal to him.
Despite it, like, okay, I think it could continuously cost him money to keep it.
I think he's going to go down with the ship.
Probably. I don't know. I'm not going to make a call either way because I don't know how Elon Musk is. But there is a tipping point.
I know that he is an egomaniac, and I know an egomaniac can't admit that they did wrong, and so he's going to stick on
there. Well, we went through Trump. We understand what that's like, so.
Yeah. Speaking,
if somebody else comes up and offers him money in the same fashion he did, he may take that out.
No one will offer the same the money in the same fashion he did, because the fashion that he
it
did
would be less
no
money.
Rational person. Yeah, he would take another loss, but he would be like, "I can cut my losses and run from here." But
it would
Sam
be less money, but I bet he would if somebody approached him. He won't like publicize that he's choosing to sell it. It'll be somebody else wants to buy it.
You'd have to admit that he lost. Not going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, speaking of travesties, the elections happened.
Yeah, midterms. You know, I have mixed feelings about this one, you guys. Because historically speaking, midterms after a new party becomes into power, there are just tremendous losses in both the
it's
House and the Senate.
It's an average of 26 seats lost.
Well, let's keep in mind that Obama lost fucking 60 seats in the House.
Right.
And,
he was a failure.
But I'm just saying, historically
yeah.
and statistically speaking, they were predicting, yes, of what we call
red
the,
wave.
The red wave or red tsunami or whatever the fuck you want to call it. That really hasn't happened. These races are a lot closer than they anticipated. You know, there's still a lot of disappointment. You know, we knew that the shit ones were going to go through. We knew that fucking Greg Abbott was going to win. We knew that DeSantis was going to win. Now, what I didn't know was, or didn't realize, was how fucking red Florida has really and truly become. If you guys remember back in 2018 when he won by a mere margin of only 30,000 votes. Right now, he's up 1.3 million votes. So either the state has turned red, or through a series of migration, there are just, you know, more deeply red people
there. I bet
there
are a lot of Democrats who got the fuck out of that state.
That is very possible. And then, I don't know, because
anybody with trans kids, they probably, if, you know,
that would make sense.
It, you know,
we're gonna have to do the same in Tennessee,
because Bill Lee has sailed through very, very easily. Everyone that was expected to win in their deeply red zones, and they tried as fuck. They tried hard to get Gloria Johnson through redistricting, but she eked out a win. So that's good. That's some good news. But Tennessee did not the young people in Tennessee did not show up to vote.
Yeah, that's been my biggest disappointment through all this, because in other states were saved by young people.
Oh, absolutely.
But in Tennessee, it is I noticed it personally when I went to vote. I was the only person under 50 in my voting line, a very long voting line. And statistically, the number of people that voted was set between 75 and 80% people over 50. Young people in this state, millennials and Zoomers, did not vote.
I have some statistics here. These are just early voting numbers. We're not going to have actual election day of demographics yet, but for early voting, 18 to 24, only 1,737. From 25 to 29, and that's kind of pushing it, but still, only 1,922. Contrasted with ages 60 to 69, 18,910, and ages 70 plus, 24,031.
And y'all wonder why I rage against the grandma.
So for millennials, us 30 to 39, 58, 48, and 40 to 49, 7,589. So more so than the boomers, but more so than the Zoomers, but nowhere near, fucking near.
Yeah. So this is why
But those age ranges, they're not equal, are they?
No, it's still percentage.
No. So if I combine 18 to 29, it would still be only 2,600,
and still by percentage. They just didn't show up.
But how much is the larger the older percentage or age range?
It was a 70 plus, so 70 until they're alive.
Until they're alive.
Until they're, you know, there's 70 plus. So, you know, that's probably an 18-year spread, 19-year spread.
And that's including still the boomer range, where there's a large population of people.
You're giving out specific numbers, but the percentage of people that voted
we're still looking at a combined number of like 42,000 early voting versus less than 20,000. You know, so they're heavily.
This is why I'm really down on Tennessee. I think that this is just going to spiral out into a complete unlivable hell zone, especially within the next 15 years as abortion has become illegal. And Knoxville's already one of the most crime-ridden cities in the entire country, even, but they won't, you won't,
we're like number one.
Yeah, but you won't hear that when you talk to some fucking red motherfucker. They'll be like, oh, Portland, oh. I no, heard. Chicago. I even heard they, some fucking liberal fucking say, if you walk down Portland, you'll see people blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, what you need to do is go downtown, walk down Magnolia, walk down Broadway. You're going to see the exact same shit. What the fuck are you talking about?
Did they really move goalposts from Chicago? Because it used to be Chicago.
It used to be Chicago. They say Chicago. They say Portland now.
But people who live in Chicago, they're like, we fucking love it here. Like, the crime is not. It's like, you understand it's per capita, right? The people don't understand that it is per capita.
They
you
don't get
crime.
Any of
if
that.
You understand like how much crime versus how many people are who live there or are affected by said crime, Chicago's not on the fucking red areas are on the top of the fucking per capita list.
Yeah, but that's what they want to say. That's
how they sell it, right? They don't because they trust people to be too stupid to understand what's going on.
They trust them to, and they're right. Well, because people are too.
Well, let's look at Amendment fucking 3 in the.
Okay, so if we're gonna get to that already, so. Our friend of the show said that he voted no on it. My own fucking mother didn't understand it and voted no on it.
I was going to say, I've been hearing a lot about the wording of that question, how it was confusing to people.
I know several leftists and liberals that accidentally voted the wrong way because they were confused on the wording. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that was intended. You know, unions are going to be destroyed in Tennessee. One lost. It's an unlivable state. If you can get the fuck out of Tennessee, I don't fucking blame you.
Just to remind our listeners, so Amendment 1 was to – it made basically unions – it was a right to work sort of like amendment where like you – they can't force you to be on a union, which essentially kills – you know, a lot of union jobs or a lot of unions who require or need all the people.
And I've been saying a lot of this stuff is meant to be incremental. That's one law, the next law. They're trying to destroy unions in this state. This state is already one of the worst for poverty, worst for like job wage gap. Like Tennessee is going to be the one of the bottom states. It already is one of the bottom, but it's going to be unlivable. I don't blame anyone for getting the fuck out of here anymore.
But for Amendment 3, Amendment 3 was essentially removing slavery as a form of punishment from the Constitution, and apparently some of the wording confused a lot of Tennesseans, as in one of five, as in 20%, or 317,000 people voted no on Amendment 3, which would have removed slavery from the Constitution. Now, it's performative sort of thing, you know, Constitution. But there were five other states, but Louisiana, I don't know how they worded theirs, but Louisiana didn't even pass theirs, right?
Well, overwhelmingly
voted to keep it. Wasn't it like the opposite, where like almost 70% voted to keep it?
So yeah, I'm not sure how much you sent the article. I saw it. I was like, that's too depressing to even get into. I'm not going to lie. I saw that. I was like, of course, Louisiana is worse than Tennessee.
Yeah,
but
when I say that Tennessee is really fucking shitty and it's one of the bottom, the only reason that I can say it's one of the bottom is that Louisiana is the bottom of literally everything.
And there's another one that had it on the...
Louisiana is a third world fucking country. It really fucking is.
And Mississippi's pretty close to that as well, like in terms
Mississippi is too. We'll be in the bottom three. If it wasn't for Georgia...
I think we are bottom three. Yeah, you're right. Georgia's in the mix.
Well, Georgia is better because of Atlanta and because some of it is blue now.
Yeah.
Florida's catching up. But yeah, it's southern states. Southern states.
Yeah, no, Georgia is becoming increasingly more purple. We're looking at we'll get into it later, but
it's the new LA. It's the new Los Angeles. That's where movies and the liberal movie people are moving to. So
I got you. Now, there was another state that also had slavery on the ballot. I don't know if it was either Montana or fucking Oregon. I'm not sure which one, but they are like, I think it was Montana, and it was like, it's like split 50-50. Like even they're undecided. Like you would think like overwhelmingly, like in 2022, but then it could be the wording. I think Amendment 1, it was intentionally worded like dog shit because if people understood what
the whole
truly,
right
really
to
meant,
work laws that even that's an, or it's literally an Orwellian term.
It was 60%.
Jesus Christ. Louisiana 60%.
Yeah.
That's not even. Okay.
So wow. 6 out of 10.
So, but actually no, Sam, I'm going to something you said on social media is that It's not that they don't know what the Mimit is. They're just doing what they're told to by their fascist leaders that, you know, tell them how to vote on these amendments. So when Bill Lee comes out,
if you watched Republicans tweet all week, Mayor Kane, brain damaged mayor, was saying all week. That's what Blackburn was saying all week. That's what Bill Lee was saying all week. They just follow their leader like good little fascists. And the people of Tennessee are deeply fascist. And that's why I fucking hate it here. Because most people are like, the people that vote are fascist. The old people, like I say, take care of your grandmas. They are fucking fascist. And then the young people are apathetic.
They are absolutely apathetic.
They don't give a fucking shit.
And it's weird because...
And I hear this in leftists all the time. I hear it in leftists. I hear it in liberals. My vote doesn't matter. That, when they say that, my vote doesn't matter, they are repeating Republican propaganda that they have internalized. And it works. It's worked. It's made them apathetic, and it's made us be ruled by fucking fascists.
Yeah, the boomers are still in control very easily, very handedly, of everything that goes on in Tennessee. There's like, and now other states, like I said, you've mentioned earlier, Gen Z, millennials, the younger, you know, the people who's just turning 18, the 18 to 24 crowd, they showed up, and they showed up in big areas to help save what prevented what was fully expected. Like, this, Republicans are going through what we went through in 2016. We saw all the polling data. We expected a great fucking night. We had fucking wine ready to go. We were ready for that. But there was the silent... It was the silent, what they call the silent majority.
I told you a lot of that polling data was pre-COVID, or a lot of the percentages they had were pre-COVID.
But so the Republicans were banking on this red wave, but they were not expecting the young people to actually get out.
I also heard other things about the polling, about that pre-election polling, is it doesn't pick up young people or that Gen Z because they don't. Like,
answer their phone.
They don't answer their phone. Answer their
phone. Yeah, they don't allow themselves to be polled like that. Yeah, so they are.
I mean, I don't either.
I mean, if I don't recognize the number,
then... hell, when the fucking even when Democrats fucking text me, I fuck with them.
Oh man,
like I know who I'm voting for. So you know, like anyone messaging
I gotta,
me,
I gotta show you later, like a funny one.
I may have to because I got a text from I got one from some union place. And they're like, hey, just send out the word to vote no on one election day. I'm like, I responded back. I'm like, I voted no on early voting. The very next day, hi, it's different person name. Will you be voting no on one? I'm like, bruh, like you don't even check your own fucking like correspondence with people. So like, I can see why people get annoyed with shit like that because they're not like they're just blindly. So I think I'll fuck with them going forward because you're right. I know how I'm gonna vote, but the young people showed up.
They shut the conversation down really quick when you start asking them about eating the rich and building guillotines.
Okay,
I mean they're also. Gen Z's got a lot of problems themselves, but they are conservative in different ways than the conservatives are conservative. But they do care about gender politics. They do care about women's issues, and the Republicans are never going to meet them there. I was seeing today that the Republicans are butthurt about Gen Z kicking their ass, but what are they doing about that? Are they trying to win Gen Z over? They can't possibly. Like, what would Republicans do to win Gen Z over?
They really can't.
They have won Gen Z over in Tennessee. So what they do is they make them feel beaten down, and they make them feel apathetic so that they don't do anything.
Or
and they
keep
make,
them
and
working they, so much that they can't
yeah,
take time
that too.
To go vote.
Yeah. Make sure that they don't have an opportunity to vote. Another way is... attack the men and make them incels. Make the men hate women. Make them misogynists so that they vote Republican. Those are the ways that they can reach them. Because the average Gen Z in East Tennessee is a Republican incel or religious piece of shit. Because you live in Tennessee.
It really is garbage. It wasn't as disastrous as I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't as bad as it could have been. In Tennessee, it was.
In Tennessee, it absolutely was.
It was atrocious. This place is fucking hell.
Every bad thing that we knew was going to happen absolutely did happen. Everything that happened was absolutely predicted and was not swayed at all by voters who you mentioned earlier had said something about, you know, I don't know if you mentioned about candidate quality. Candidate quality was kind of on the ballot this election cycle. But man, they don't fucking care. I was watching I was watching the coverage, and they were talking about Herschel Walker, who's going to Herschel Walker and of course Warnock are going to go toward Reverend Warnock are going to go to a runoff again, which Georgia came in clutch last time in 2020, saved it, and saved the Senate, which is very important, by the way, because without the Senate, every federal judge appointee that Biden wants to push through can be stonewalled and blocked without a majority in the Senate. So that is crucially important. I think the House is pretty much already lost, so we'll talk about it in the future. But Herschel Walker, they said that over a third of voters did not trust Herschel Walker's judgment, but we're going to vote for him anyways.
Fascists are going to vote down party lines.
Yep.
And that's why, I argue with leftists all the time. There's a lot of leftists who are really fucking stupid when it comes to voting. You do have to vote blue no matter who, because we are like the most people, the trans community, we're going to talk about that, is already being attacked, and they're going to try to keep attacking them in Tennessee until it's unlivable for them. And then you're going to talk to a leftist, they're going to say, well, my vote didn't matter, or, oh, I hate blue, I hate Democrats. And no, like, your lives are at risk. There's already lives at risk right now because of abortion being banned. And then you get fucking dumbasses and say, oh, I can't vote blue no matter who. Yes, you have to, you piece of shit.
You know what the worst part is? I think that there
it's
is
not
no...
voting blue no matter who, in my opinion.
There's two sides.
It's weighing out each candidate and finding out which one's going to do less damage.
It's always
like,
going to be about mitigating
harm.
That's
what we have to fucking do right now, because... It, like Sam said, lives are literally at stake.
But I think on top of that, though, there's still some difference, and a major difference in which candidates they allow to be on the ballot and who they allow to go through the primaries, because there still is some bar. There is no bar when it comes to the GOP and Republicans. There is no bar for how bad a candidate can be to go through the primary and to even be voted on. Like, Herschel Walker should not be electable,
because it's about your credentials. It's about how dirty you'll play.
But when we look at
it's
Democratic,
about who you'll follow. Herschel Walker is a puppet.
Absolutely is. But I can't imagine I haven't seen any candidate on the Democrat side that is as poor of quality as any of these candidates that are being propped up by the right. Now, fortunately, Doug Mastriano, who was running for governor in fucking Pennsylvania, one of the most MAGA-headed fucking guys. At least Pennsylvania found him too extreme, and so Josh Shapiro just kicked the shit out of him. Oz. So Pennsylvania went very well for the Democrats, which, of course, was a swing state. Biden barely won that. Trump barely won that. It's a very easily swing state, but...
That's one the Zoomers helped in.
Zoomers definitely helped out. I mean, thank fuck, because Oz is a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
Thanks, Oprah.
Well, it's funny because Oprah's like trying to backtrack. She endorsed Fetterman.
It's
still her fault that
that we were that close.
Yeah, it's her fault that he's where he's at. Like, she's the one that made him who he was, despite all the fraudulent shit.
You think she would have known that he was a huge piece of shit? But
but no, that's where it came. That's where they came in clutch. You know, was definitely in one of those states. It was Pennsylvania, where I think the right was actually banking on Oz. I know Fox News was circle jerking when they saw like the latest polls that Oz was ahead in the most recent poll. But then come election day, very, very quickly it became very clear that Oz was out, Mastriano was out. Unfortunately, we have some bads that are still going through. Boebert has somehow survived.
Anyway, I think it's going to be a while before we're going to get through, because I watched it this morning when I woke up. It was 50-50 with 99% reporting. And then I checked it later in the day, and it was like 51-49 with 98% reporting. And I don't know what that would, but then I started seeing on Reddit people talking about District 3 telling everybody, if you live there, check your ballot and make sure it's being counted. And they had some like text to cure. Thing that you can do. They're like, it's 5 minutes to get your vote counted. So they're pushing people to do that, but that's our district. So I don't know what's going on, but it seems like a bunch of, votes may have been thrown out because of errors.
It's possible, but a couple things about Boebert's race is that no one expected to be this close. This is a Republican R+9 district. She won by 10,000 votes in 2020. Put that in perspective. Right now, she's winning by 742 with, and it dropped down to 97%. As of my last look, it dropped down to 97% reported.
Why is it dropping?
Because they maybe more ballots. I don't know. This is all that AP News is, the Associated Press is putting out, is that it's now 97%. And again, the spread's 740. At one point, it was only 63 votes. But in perspective, in 2020, there were only 107,000 total votes cast. She won like 55,000 to 45,000. Right now, they each have 145,000, 147,000 each. Three times the amount of voters in this election cycle versus the previous. But they're both coming out. Like, both the left and the right are coming out for this election. This election is a record-breaking midterm, could be.
The right knows that this is their push to grab. They're trying to save Trump.
Trump, this was disastrous for Trump in some ways. Like, a lot of the ones he put up.
Say his quote.
Oh, I love this. I love this quote. All right, actually, I thought when I saw this and had this ready, I was going to do my best Trump impression if I can do this. So when asked, he was interviewed earlier on Tuesday, if he was responsible for the party's success, he says this. I think I can't do Trump. Fuck, I'm not going to try. I was like, I can hear it better in my head, but I can't do Trump because I don't. Fuck it, whatever. I think if they win, I should get all the credit. And if they lose, I should not be blamed at all, okay? But it will be probably just the opposite. When they win, I'll probably be given very little credit, even though in many cases I told people to run, and they ran, and they turned out to be very good candidates. If they do badly, they'll blame everything on me. So, like, he's the fucking narcissist. Like, if you win, it's all on me. If you suck and lose, add it on me, bro.
Right. Hey, that's how he is with everything, isn't it? Like, anything good, it's
always been
me.
That way. It's always been that way, but but 308 candidates in total were on the ballot that were election-denying, MAGA asshole, fucking killing our democracy, because democracy was on the ballot. Not in Tennessee, they didn't care. And a lot of places, that's kind of what prevented this red wave, was because democracy is on the ballot. Now, right now, I'm watching two very close races. I want Boebert, of course, out. That's very, very close. It's still too close to call. The other one is the Arizona governor race for Hobbs and Carrie. I've been saying her name Kari improperly. It's Carrie. Yeah. That's her fault for having it spelled that way. It is actually Carrie Lake, and Hobbs is winning right now. But it really depends on, if you guys remember in Arizona, when the numbers came in, and this is a different area. This is during during COVID, but Biden was winning by 130,000. And then his lead got chipped away at the end, where he only led by 10,200 or something like that. So I don't know how the rest is going to go. Carrie Lake could lose. Carrie Lake could come back up. And that's going to be disastrous, because she was one of the biggest proponents.
I think a few of these races, like Georgia, definitely, Colorado, the Arizona, like the ones mentioned so far, I think it's going to be a while before we get a... absolute, this is who has these. I think Georgia, they've already said there's going to be a runoff.
There's already going to be a runoff, and that's going to be sometime in December.
Likely going to be a recount in Colorado.
It has to be. I don't know what the laws are, but with only a 742, as it stands right now, vote spread,
yeah,
there's no candidate that would not get a recall going in that situation, because right.
Sounds like we needed just a little teensy more bit of COVID. Just a little
but
more.
But keep in mind, it's more. Colorado, right? So Colorado had I think probably a Democratic governor who made the rules and pushed, you know, safe COVID measures and had those out there.
I guess he fucked himself over. He needed to throw those.
Well, keep in mind, that is one.
They have mountains to throw their grandmas off of.
If you look at the, that's one Colorado district that's just low. If you look at the rest, Colorado is doing very, very well. Their House representatives are winning almost every one of their races for the Democrats. So I think they did. I think they did good in that regard. It's just that there's always going to be one pocket.
I would love for Arizona to be blue. I love Arizona and all my travels. Arizona is my favorite state. It's best random people to run into.
The Arizona senator is currently winning there too. Kelly, I think, is the name. Correct me. Yeah, Mark Kelly. He's currently winning. So Arizona is, you know, they're not as red. They're light blue. They're getting in that area.
The problem with every single state, including even Knoxville to an extent, is that it's always the cities versus the counties.
Yeah, it's every single state.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Even like fucking California and Washington, they have the same fucking problem.
Yeah, Trump got the most votes for presidency in California. He got over 6 million votes in that state. Yeah. So because there are
just people in the city are less racist pieces of shit because they're around other people, and then people are xenophobic morons that have never met a brown person in their life,
or traveled, or know other places exist. They've stayed, you know, they've stayed in their fucking coal. You know,
that's where Tennessee. Churches can set up and start brainwashing better.
Some other good news, though, man. Kentucky came in clutch, kind of.
Well, you know, we didn't lose McConnell.
No, I didn't say that. I don't think he was on the ballot. No. But they had a abortion amendment or something on their ballot that they voted no on. They're like, they tried to do what Tennessee did, what Tennessee successfully did, whereas nothing in our Constitution protects the right to abortion, and Tennessee passed that, you know,
back in 2013. They were pieces of shit.
Kentucky was like, no, they voted no on that, and that's. But the problem, though, is that there's already a kind of a permanent ban on abortion, and if it survives the state Supreme Court, then that amendment's irrelevant, right? If the state Supreme Court pushes that back and says it's unconstitutional based on Kentucky's constitution, then they can't do shit, right? So it's done. So Kentucky did a good saving them. Michigan came in. That's why I love blue states. That's why I hate living in Tennessee. Michigan's like, we're going to, California too. Michigan and California put abortion in their constitution. You have the right to reproductive rights. You have the right to abortion up to viability. You have the right to contraceptives. Like both of those, they added that to their constitution. And you have all these red states trying to fight
that. Was that an overwhelming yes, or was it just a barely getting by? Because Michigan, like, there's a whole lot of people who in Michigan who seem to think that they're part of the Confederacy.
Do you remember? So actually, I sent you a screenshot. This is of someone who was bitching about it, a right-leaning Facebook acquaintance, former gamer friend. And it was listing all the things about how this is bad because of all the things, how unregulated abortion would be. And I sent you this, and if you go line by line, you're like, that's good, that's good, that's good. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? All those lines. I said, this is on Michigan's, this is on Michigan's amendment. And I said, I would vote the fuck for this. And you said, yeah, same. I think 50, no more than 60%, but more than 52%. I think it's in that range where it went through. But they ensured in that state that no matter who got voted in next, because you know they tried to vote in Whitmer, right, or take out Whitmer, who's the governor. She survived her governor race too. They're trying to prevent the next governor from being able to. That's what they did. Michigan said whoever if they try to take out Whitmer and some Republican gets in, they still can't do shit because it's in our constitution. So good for them. There's some sanity in this world, but not here in fucking Tennessee or the South. With the Herschel Walker thing, it blows my mind that he should have been nowhere near victorious, or that there should not be a runoff. I have no words for how people can just let their feelings. Or fascism. It's probably just
fascism. Fascism. Like you
ignorance.
Said. I don't know how to explain it. It's just so depressing.
I mean, ignorance that supports fascism is still evil.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, fascists prey upon ignorance.
I mean, fascists prey upon, hey, you are part of the chosen people. You're white. You're Christian. You're a man. Like, don't you want to, like, so, like I say this all the time, quick aside, I'm going to have you tell the girls about the true meaning of Thanksgiving soon, but, fascism is to have privilege, there needs to be people under you, and the way that racism is taught in liberal movies in school, it's, oh, I don't like someone because they're different looking than me, and then all their media is like, maybe you need to get to know them, when in reality it's, hey, you want to be privileged, right? Well, someone else has to be underprivileged for you to be privileged, and they're like, yeah, fuck those people.
And then in various states, all the red ones, right, where they're trying to literally erase the history of the fascism in America to make it seem like they aren't born of privilege, right? So they're trying to erase that whole idea that privilege even exists because of their whole push to, like, ban the books, ban everything that deals with the systemic racism that exists in America. And so that's why they're trying to push that you don't have privilege, in fact.
Well, that's why that... Okay, so that's why that works in Tennessee and not in others, is because we were talking about the Zoomers earlier. Zoomers understand that shit, even if it's not taught in school, because they talk about it in their circles. But in Tennessee, the Zoomers here are apathetic. They don't give a shit. They're too...
So bad.
I overheard two Zoomers having a date over the weekend, and it just gave me an insight into their little heads. And they're too anxious and scared of the world to pay attention to politics, so they're apathetic. I think that's a lot of that generation is... Which blows my mind, because you see that on Twitter, too, that's... God, there's a lot of big portion of Zoomers that have a problem with sex or have a really weird relationship and are anti-sex in a very conservative way. And I think that they're kind of shell-shocked from COVID and not having interactions with people for a couple of years. And they are kind of scared of the world, but they're the generation that's going to have to literally see society collapse. Like, the horrors that they're going to see are going to be worse than any other generation that's lived.
You know, that's interesting to me, because millennials, by and large, are, I think, very sex positive, yeah, right?
I think that's part of the pushback.
Oh, interesting. But what you were talking about earlier, when you know how they're so apathetic here, I work with a lot of young people in my line of work, a lot of employees I have, and everyone that I spoke to that's within that 18 to 20 whatever range, not a single fucking one voted. They don't even know what's going on, yeah, nor do they care.
Yeah, I told you.
And it's depressing to... I was like...
Care. Like, if Zoomers and Millennials all went to the fucking polls, we wouldn't be in this situation in Tennessee.
I don't know about in Tennessee, because there are a lot of...
You think there's more boomers in Tennessee, period, than
I think there's fascist millennials.
I think that most... Okay, yeah. I
think there's fascist millennials
in
Tennessee.
I think that most male Zoomers are... Most male Zoomers, millennials.
There are fascist Gen Z in every fucking state.
I think there's a higher concentration.
I think there's a higher concentration here because of church.
I mean, like, outside the port or Washington, they're like the northern states have a high population of them as well, or concentration.
I think as that well. If you talk to like the churchy folks, yes, anybody that goes to church is going to be a misogynist, because Christianity is a misogynist religion to its core.
I think the majority of millennials, the majority of Gen Zers in Tennessee will probably be more left leaning, more liberal, but I think there's still a higher concentration than typical states in these areas of the fascist ones, who just tacitly agree with what their parents think that they should think or vote, because that's just kind of what parents sometimes do. I know you don't try to teach your child what to think or teach them how to think.
It's a very small bubble. Our friends are about
small though, bubble. And I know how many of them have conservative parents that these kids are not.
And how many other ones are in youth groups right now?
Well, I mean, I know a kid, one of my kid's friends has two parents that are cops, and like the kid's the complete opposite, like ACAB. You know, part of the thing is kids do reject things from their parents, but and even in the like small towns, there's concentrations of the Zoomers that are more progressive.
But I think you're right. If the Gen Z and millennials voted in the same ratio that the boomers and the Gen Xers, whatever the next generation, the 50 plus, if they voted in the same ratio as they did, this country would have a vastly different outlook. Now, what we're facing now is more than likely we're going to lose the House of Representatives, and Kevin McCarthy will more than likely be the Speaker of the House.
Who will not work with Biden.
No, nothing's going to get done. It's going to be a stonewall for the next years, and they're going to do that intentionally so that they can show that, look, there was nothing done for the last... Remember how
talk about what they did for the midterms is talk about inflation, because they blame Democrats for inflation, when inflation is not when companies price gouge, but that's what's actually happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then they also voted no on the Inflation Reduction Act, and then... Pete Buttigieg, who's on the cabinet, I think he's on the Department of Transportation, but still, he was being interviewed, and he's like, well, they didn't propose an alternate bill. Like, we would have loved to debate which bill is better, which plan of action to fight inflation is better, but we were the only one with a bill. We were the only one with a plan. So all these Republicans who are saying the Democrats are causing inflation, they didn't have anything to correct. They still don't.
This has been the Republican strategy for at least my entire life since I've been into politics, is destroy the country, blame the opponent, win by destroying the country. That's literally what Republicans do. They try to ruin our lives so they can blame their enemy on it.
And so what they're going to do for the next 2 years is stonewall. They're going to do their Hunter Biden laptop and fucking committees. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is in the most comfortable fucking district of Georgia ever,
impeach Biden.
She's going to get committee assignments back. Remember, she was kicked off all her committees because she couldn't stop saying anti-Semitic shit. McCarthy will probably restore her position in a lot of those committees. They're going to impeach Biden over various stupid shit. And they're going to launch waste all these dollars on things that are going to, nothing's going to happen. Like, remember how many hearings they had on fucking Benghazi and still nothing was found? It's going to be the same shit over various things and nothing is going to get done when it comes to, they're going to abolish the January 6th committee. So they have until January 20th, assuming that they do in fact, they have until January 20th to wrap up what they're doing. Otherwise, it's going to get killed day one. It's going to get absolutely killed day one, but even more so, the one we're still fighting for again is the Senate. Otherwise, there will be no federal judge appointments that Biden can make, that Turtlehead Mitch McConnell won't block at every chance that he gets. And right now, it's going to be a slim majority. We're going to be back to where we were. It's looking like if Walker's defeated by Warnock, it's going to be another 50-50 split where, again, it's not going to matter because nothing's going to go through the House, but we still have Sinema. We still have Joe Manchin.
Yeah.
But at least Biden can continue to fill those critical judge positions and those federal courts that are making a lot of decisions before it gets to the Supreme Court. And that's kind of a critical thing. So it's very important that both are done. But the next 2 years, they're using that. They're going to bank on the House not getting anything done or trying to do shit that Biden just vetoes, right? And then just say, look, Biden for the last 2 years hasn't done anything. Now Trump, I don't know. If Trump, I don't know, man. Trump had a bad, this is, what do you think about the midterms in terms of how they're going to look at Trump? Because a lot of those were his candidates that did not win. Is this country over Trump?
No.
No, it's never, no, not until he is like, no,
I think he's lost a lot of sway and power, or he doesn't maybe, have.
He's just going to get louder, but
I don't like. I think that the people who follow Trump are so wide that just because they don't like people that are like as radical as them doesn't mean that they're not going to keep voting for him. Because there are some people who will vote for Trump who will look at Marjorie Taylor Greene and say she's crazy.
You know? Yeah, that's fair. Even though
she's also a woman, and people love Trump because he's a misogynist, so.
Yeah.
You can't get a woman to be as popular as Trump because that party is misogynist. They love when a woman gets up there and they're like, I hate myself. My sex needs to go to the kitchen. And they're like, well, why are you working in this? Why aren't you in the kitchen right now?
Well, I guess we'll find out. I think he said Tuesday the 14th, he's got a big announcement he's going to make.
He's going to run.
We will find out if that announcement is in fact that he is announcing his candidacy. Now, he got into a little spat with fucking Ron DeSantis, giving DeSantis a new nickname. Ron DeSanctimonious is what he decided to call
him. Hopefully the two of them take each other down.
You know, because, you know, Ron, I don't know if I talked about it last week, but Ron DeSantis was asked point blank if he would run, or if he would serve a full four-year term during their debate, and he just did not answer. He said yes or no. His opponent, Chris, I think is his name, Chris. He's like, it's a very easy question. Yes or no. Will you commit to serving a full four-year term as governor for Florida? Yes or no. Yes or no? It's a very easy question, man. Did not say a fucking thing because I think he does have full aspirations, depending on what Trump does. I don't know if Trump runs, he may still. I mean, he's maybe the only one that could possibly beat Trump. He's widely fucking popular in Florida and even here in Tennessee from all the Trumplicans I've heard here, but they fucking love Ron DeSantis and his policies.
And they all need to play Russian roulette 6 times in a row. I found some really good workarounds. You don't need to dolphin me anymore. I'm going to write Ron DeSantis' name in the death note.
Okay.
That's another one that gets perfect flying colors. And,
I don't know. I think he may be the only one that could actually, you know, hold a fire to Trump and the primaries. I know still Trump is widely popular, but we'll find out Tuesday whether he's going to vote in the Senate. You think he's going to have to now. He's got so much shit piling up on him criminal-wise with all these investigations that the only way out of it may be, because how slow things turn, right? He's got things facing the Supreme Court. He's got all these things coming, you know, all these delay tactics that he uses. He very well may try to use those tactics to prevent any criminal indictments to sail into a presidency and then be immune from said criminal activity, which is fucking irritating and infuriating that we have a justice system that won't indict a sitting president just because they're a sitting president, despite the numerous crimes they presented.
Next, we have a local story that made national news.
Viral as fuck.
Yeah, because the dude was a fucking creep.
I thought it was because he had the stupidity and audacity to fucking call the police.
He showed up to the police station.
That's right.
Because the girl's father threatened him because he was fucking stalking his daughter. Yeah, and just sat there and just told the Lenoir City sheriff's officers exactly, like, how he was stalking her. And
he's like, yeah, I chased her a couple blocks after she took off.
Only a couple blocks.
They're like, why? They're like, you know if she probably doesn't want to be chased, right?
No, girls like that. He's like, well, she didn't. He's like, well, girls have... Grape fantasies and
that was literally his defense.
Yeah, and BDSM fantasies, and he's like,
recording
well,
himself saying,
yeah, because
this
he
to
thinks
the
he's in the right.
He absolutely,
yeah,
did.
He sees nothing at all wrong with his actions, and that's
that
what makes him
police.
So fucking terrified.
And he went to the station. So this is what got me earlier when you were talking about how Tennessee makes young make people insoles. I was like, we have a story for this later.
Yeah,
you know, because this guy's an absolute.
This
insult.
Is a Tennessee Knoxville, technically Loudoun, Lenoir City incel.
That's like, what, 30 minutes from here?
It's I don't know. It's exit 81. That's all I know. It's I drive by it all the time.
I spent way too much
it's
time
close
out
enough.
There in
it's
high,
close yeah. enough.
I spent way too much time out there in high school. dated someone from out there, and it's a horrible county.
But I
say, whoa. I actually, when I was in college, I had to make a documentary, and I made a documentary about Loudoun County, Lenoir City, which is in that county. And I found out all about how fucking racist and shitty their cops are. I found out about how they break up unions to hire Latino people and to undercut the pay of the people and fire everybody. I did a documentary on that fucking county. I know how fucking shitty it is.
You mentioned that. It's funny you mentioned that, because when I saw the initial video, I was like, you know what? Despite him admitting all this to the officer about how he did these things, I was like, nothing's going to happen. The cops aren't gonna do anything.
I took up on the cues. There were things. When he said he would go talk to her and get back in touch with him, I knew right then that he was going to ask her if she wanted to press charges. Mm. Because otherwise he would have just dismissed them and wouldn't have even talked to her.
We can't put an ACAB on this section because the cops actually arrested
Yeah,
him.
The other thing I noticed is, so he asked him what her name is and gets her information. And then he's like, well, what's your name? And I saw the other officer whip out his notebook and start jotting down information too. And I'm like, they're going to be looking into this guy. I mean, it was just too fucking alarming.
It really is, because they've been shocking to the officers. The officers' reactions themselves when he describing his actions, and they were like, if I was a father, I probably would have said the same thing to you. You know,
right?
Like, fathers are protective of their daughters. They didn't even care one bit that there was some sort of, you know,
and this guy fully thought that the cops were going to arrest
the
dad.
Yeah,
right.
He fully thought that, you know, he was that he was in the right, that she wanted, she just didn't know that she wanted it. She was just playing.
He chased her with I heard it described as a boombox. I don't know. No one who has a fucking boombox.
He's a DJ. It was his car stereo, because it was a song that he made because he's a DJ.
I actually heard the music.
You did?
Really?
Yeah, from the video I watched that talked about it, he actually got the music, and it sounds like shit. I mean, well, yeah. I'm like, I listen to punk music and industrial. That is no Death Grips.
So after he goes in there, though, he then goes to his car and starts, like, making threats. It gets dark. Then talking about her being gay and, like, part of the LGBT community.
Was she gay?
Hold on, no, that's always the insult move, right? So when you reach out and you're like, hey, you want to do this? Well, fuck you anyway, you fat bitch. Like they now make themselves like, and they make you less than, you weren't worth their time anyways after being rejected. So that's probably what he's doing. He's doing the typical insult. I didn't get my way, so now I'm going to insult you and demean you because obviously you're not a good person. You're not cool enough to like me, so you're obviously this. That's the insult playbook 101, man. That's all that is. And obviously he just went super dark with it enough so much that Lenore City actually went and arrested and then actually added the stalking charge.
Stalking and harassment charges.
Good for them.
I mean, he like I said, we can't add this to our ACAB because cops actually did the right thing here.
It was surprising. I would say it was surprising
too. When I saw that video, I was like, I bet they didn't do shit. But no, I found out later that they did. So can't say that here. But we're still talking about it because it is a Knoxville issue and it went viral.
Well, it's also an incel issue that is just kind of growing in America, right?
Like I said, that is why the males here, like, so the culture in Knoxville and Tennessee is, I need a big fucking truck because my penis is so tiny.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the whole Gen Z-er, like, shying away from sex is driving the more incels? Or are the incels being, like, are they the older crowd, the millennials? Are there young incels in that? Because I really don't know or
I
care.
Think two
yeah,
separ-
they're
I th-
young incels.
I think they're
I mean,
two separate categories.
I mean,
I'm just curious if the Gen Zers who are,
well, if you're so the
it's
problem with Tennessee is being religious.
The same way it always was through video games. Like that's one of the ways they get into the
Call of Duty players. You tell us about it, Dustin.
Jesus Christ! So I haven't. So listen, Mike. In years past, so I did pick up the new Call of Duty, and in years past, I'd always just auto-muted the lobby because I don't want to fucking hear. I don't like hearing other people anyways, but I'm now gaming with a friend with a mic, and so I'm hearing this, and a lot of times it's cool, but then other times I'm like, Jesus, fuck, this place is toxic as fuck. Yeah. Like, the things they say, like, because they can, because the internet anonymity, a word I can't say, is just, it drives hatred and just vitriol. And that they're happy that they can say these things. I'm hearing white people drop the hard R, like, gleefully.
I told you it would happen. That's why I can't play that shit.
I'm like, you know, like, this is their safe space to be the vitriolic, racist, hateful, bigoted piece of shit. And they think it's funny. I'm like, mute.
It's 4chan. It's 4chan.
I saw some, like, public freakout that had this guy saying a bunch of racist stuff, and I was reading the comments, and in the comments there, it's like, you can tell he's just, like, used to saying it in all his video games, and he goes out in his real world, and he's confused why it's not acceptable there, because it's, like, it's so common in a lot of video games.
Yeah, I think that's one of the driving factors is that social media, or the online platform itself, places, not so much Facebook, but things like Reddit, Twitter, where the anonymity, where you get to hide behind a veil of the keyboard that you have in front of you. You can spew whatever bullshit you want and face, and unless you're doxxed, you won't face any kind of repercussions for whatever shit you want to say. Things you say in Call of Duty, unless you get fucking swatted, like, there's no repercussions for any of the horrible shit you say. And it kind of drives that, I think, the video game, it's not video games themselves, but that community where they have that anonymity too. And they spruce themselves up.
I think there is a connection between the type of games those people are attracted to, because you do see it in Call of Duty.
The things I've read on Rocket League would blow your mind, boy. It's everywhere. Okay. It's literally everywhere. Wherever there's competition, wherever they get mad for losing. Right?
Yeah.
So like, you know,
I heard that in Dead by Daylight that there's a trinket that you can wear that's an LGBT rainbow flag, and that people were harassing those people. But yeah, it's everywhere.
My emblem on Call of Duty is the progressive LGBTQ, like the progressive flag. I'm just seeing who I can trigger with it.
I played Need for Speed for a little bit, and I made my car with a bunch of like the cop symbol in the game and a cross and says ACAB all over it, and I take that into online.
I know we're getting to the gaming, but in Rocket League, you can design your own car, and I try to make the gayest fucking car possible. Like, it's so cute. Like, it's got a little cute cat on it and the little rainbows and shit. Like, it spits out rainbows.
They probably think you're a girl. They probably want your number.
No, like, I don't know. I mean, girls don't play video games, Sam. You know this stuff.
Got it.
But, so I do have, not really truly like a true ACAB, but I've noticed that in the last few days, fuck it, I'll say it. Yesterday, this is we're recording on the 10th. The 9th, I'm over at the Wahlberg Super Walmart. And I'm just sitting out there. I just wrapped up a call with, I had to be out of the branch. I make a call with probably a colleague. And I look out and I see just a massive horde of unmarked, militarized fucking police with their vests. Like, these aren't. It didn't look like just normal, you know, officer, blue shirts. Right. These were like the vest with civvies on underneath, with their armed and shit, like almost like narcotics unit how they look. And they swarm a car, and like, damn, there's a massive drug bust. And the person's like, no, that's loss prevention over there with them. Like, all that for a fucking shoplifter? There are five cars over there with all this shit. And again today, six of those same type officers are over there protecting, using our tax dollars, protecting the corporate interest of fucking Walmart during fucking their Black Friday fucking week. I love so much that all of our, and I'm talking the Dodge Charger, like the things that they are driving, these aren't the old fucking Crown Vics that they used to drive. They are driving expensive ass fucking cars with fancy shit, just spending atrocious amounts of money protecting the corporate interest of a private company to protect their fucking
what? While Knoxville is the income? Highest crime-ridden city, and they're out there protecting Walmart.
I'm like, it's two people in a car, man. Like, do you really need six vehicles, let alone the sheer number of officers with like these were like militarized kind of units. Like, I can't express this enough how bad this looked as an onlooker. Like you think it's like you think they just busted some drug cartel. Like, it really looks like that. No, it's a fucking shoplifter. So that's what Knoxville is. Graciously in Knox County.
Thanks, this
is
the sheriff. American Cannon.
This is Kane, because this is
okay,
sheriff.
It's Kane, it
these
County.
Were the sheriffs, okay. And that's why I well, typically it's KPD. But
thanks,
this was
Mayor Brain
this,
Damage.
This is Mayor Brain Damage, making sure that we put that, because he spends time at Walmart. One of his he used to make posts about one of the cart pushers there for his hard work ethic. And so yeah, that's Mayor
Kane. I will say. Blue no matter who doesn't equate to Ken Cannon. Her election's going to be in 2 years. But fuck her. I will vote independent against Ken Cannon, because
she did us no favors.
She was the fake progressive mayor, and I voted for her. I actually spoke to her beforehand. I had a friend, one of my best friends, actually lived in her attic when she lived in the 4th and Gill neighborhood. She was his roommate. And I thought she was going to be Knoxville's really progressive mayor, and not one thing she has done has not been the exact thing that a Republican wouldn't have done.
No, I voted. I happily voted for her too, because I thought the same thing. I think Stephanie, we both did. We voted for her, and then I sold my stove. I bought a new stove, and the people were picking up on election night. We're going over the results. I'm like, yes, and they were like, they were happy. Kincaid won too. And then as time went on, I'm like,
it wasn't even. It was immediate.
It was
within weeks of her victory.
She posted that picture of her.
Yeah, that was within weeks of her win. So that is the time that I will say vote independent, because she has been no different than a Republican.
She's been pretty bad.
She is a Republican.
Do we have the word dino? Because I know they have rhinos. Do we have dinos as Democrats name?
I mean, like you say about Sinema and Manchin, she's the same. She's
Manchin, to be fair, I kind of understand Manchin. Manchin's in a kind of a red state, and he has to kind of be someone.
No, fuck him too.
Fuck him still, but he has to. he kind of has to be a centrist. Now, Cinema has no fucking excuse. She is just a garbage human being for whatever her decisions are. But yeah, they're more centrist. They're more. Yeah, they're the ones that are fucking over Biden's agenda. And what kind of could have made this midterm a lot better had some of those bills gone through, had they could have shown more of the wins, successes that both fucking those two alone hampered him on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Those kind of fake progressives do
and
truly
fuck
over people.
And she is a fake progressive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the fascist GOP completely won in Tennessee. We knew it was going to happen, and we were talking about it earlier. Fucking Gen Z and millennials didn't vote, and we're already seeing what they want to do. They're already attacking drag queens because they hate drag queens. They hate trans. It's one of the most the minorities that is the most vulnerable, and they are attacking them, and they're trying to ban drag shows in Knoxville and quote places that children can see.
This is Tennessee, not just Knoxville.
Yeah, this is Knoxville.
It's Tennessee in general. It's a Senate bill.
This started a few months back with it was Portland, Tennessee. They were trying to pass pretty much the exact same thing, but the ACLU, I believe, has shut it down. It didn't go anywhere. But I read the proposed wording a while back, and I believe it was like in the Memphis area there was going to be a drag show, and I don't know, maybe it was there that proposed bill that I was reading. Maybe it was Portland. I don't know where Portland, Tennessee is, but it's started a few months ago before the election, when Portland failed, they decided to try to do it with the state. And I'm sure ACLU is involved to stop it from passing because it is a bit ridiculous.
I mean, they'll take it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court's going to side with fascists.
Well, it has to go through the Tennessee Supreme Court first.
It's going to pass through that. How many fascists does it have to pass through?
Right. What you're talking about is just a proposed Senate Bill 3 by Johnson. I'm not sure who the fuck that is. But it amends the previous one. Basically, the previous bill said you can't have any kind of cabaret acts within 1,000 feet in any direction, any straight line of a public school or something like that, to what was mentioned earlier.
And I believe churches too, right?
Which doesn't make any sense. Like, who fucking cares? There's a church on every fucking road. Why would you care about this shit being
because
near churches?
I know
because they can just pop a church anywhere.
At least some cities in Tennessee have a church stipulation in there as well. Because there was a BDSM club in Nashville that opened as a church because they couldn't open as a club. Maybe they were just too close to a school, but I thought they were too close to a church. So they became a church themselves.
Oh, did that loophole work for them? Or
for a while, but then there are new headlines from the police being like, we believe there is actually a sex club operating inside of this church.
So all these senators are taking their talking points from like DeSantis, fucking Tucker Carlson, who are deriding
and
all
our
these...
mayor. Our mayor is really big on it now, and so is Blackburn.
We've fucking had drag shows. There's been drag for fucking like... What, since the 70s?
Kane made his fucking career on wearing tights, makeup. He had long hair. He understands, like...
It's like, a fascist motivation. It's because they lost... Like I've explained this previous weeks, they lost the battle on the gays. The gays can get married. So they have to fight the most vulnerable people, the hardest people for normies and church folks to accept and understand. And that's going to be drag and trans. And they're going to work their way up. That's their new strategy.
Well, they're definitely... So drag is actually, obviously... they've went after trans already for several times in Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee led the way with the sheer number of bills. Now, yes, now they're going after drag. And this is arguably step one in this. Where, yes, they're so afraid that a child... Like, they don't... It's so weird. The hypocrisy is astounding because they don't trust parents to make sound judgments for the children anymore, but yet they want to make sure they
the children argument.
But when it comes to schools and what school, you know, like at that point now they're like, we want our parents to make sure they can choose whether our children can learn or see and not see.
Right.
But then when it comes to what a parent wants to take their child and expose their child to, that they I sent you the most adorable video of a fucking little girl at a drag show having the fucking time of her fucking life.
Yeah, they don't care. See, I mean, now
they're more dressed
now,
in there
now
than
that
fucking
I have experience with children. Like, that worry is on the parents, not the children. Children don't think about sex. They don't have those fucking hormones. They're not thinking like that. It's the parents that think like that. Children don't think about sex. They don't even know what their fucking parts do or for. They're like, I go pee-pee out of this. That's all they fucking know. All of that is put on by adults.
You're not wrong. Because all they see is a shiny dress and, you know, yeah. Music and, you know, fun going on and just the... Because, you know, drag, they're exuberance, their excitement, like they're performers.
My kid has always loved a fancy dress, and it did not matter who it was on. If it was on a man, your dress is so beautiful.
Argument goes back to the 70s. It goes back before, where drag is inherently sexual. They want to say that it is a fetish, so a man wearing a dress is inherently sexual. If you see a man wearing a dress, he is a sex pervert. Like, that line of thinking has been what they have been pushing for since the beginning of time. I don't know.
This country's so fucking prudish. It's hypocritically prudish, though, because when you look at the drag show that I sent you, how...
It's not prudish. It's anti-LGBT. I just saw a tweet today saying that Zoomers suck and this would have been solved if we just took them to Hooters. They want to sexualize children because they want to fuck them.
I mean, you're not... I mean, you're not wrong, because you look at... You know, no one cares when they go to a football game and look at how short the skirts are on cheerleaders. Yet yeah. You go to see a full
it's an LGBT
gown,
thing.
A full fancy formal dress on a drag queen and that's fully covered.
And like I said, they hate gay people, they hate trans people. Like I've been saying, this is an attack on the trans and LGBT. That's all it is. That's what it is up and down. Don't pretend it's anything else. It's part of their plan for incremental legislation to eventually attack them with laws. They've been doing it with schools, stopping them from getting things. This is what they're doing. This is open fascism, an attack on that. They will always use the, oh, but it's for the children, because that's what these fascist morons think. They're fucking brain dead pieces of shit that live here.
Well, fortunately, the Tennessee legislature site, like I mentioned, the General Assembly site like I mentioned last year, it makes it very easy to track and watch these bills, and I will be adding this to my watch list to see where it goes. I hope it dies very, very soon.
And this
I
is
don't
why,
expect it
if
to.
You voted for Republican in Tennessee, you're part of this, and you deserve to play Russian roulette 6 times in a row.
Because this will easily, if this doesn't get killed in committee, this will easily pass because they have a super majority in both the House, Tennessee mm-hmm. State House, and Tennessee State Senate, and nothing is stopping this. There's no Gloria Johnson is one, but two voices right now.
And this is why we got to move the fuck out of the state.
Only two Democrats, because of their gerrymandering, the lack of the pure apathy of young voters. Only two Democrats won this election cycle in these midterms, supermajority, and so this I'll be watching this. If it progresses, we'll keep you guys posted. If it changes, if there's amendments to this that makes it worse or better, we'll keep you guys posted on it. But that's they immediately jumped on. Yeah, they moved very quickly. This is on this, and they're just jumping on the right wing talking points that Tucker Carlson just can't let go of.
Go read Mayor Brain Damages. He has been hitting this hard.
Don't force me to read fucking Mayor Brain Damage, because I hate him.
He has been hitting this hard. He just won election this year.
Yeah, he's there for another fucking
4 years. Like I said, the people of Tennessee are two things, fascist and apathetic. Like, that's being apathetic to evil is tacitly accepting evil. The people of Tennessee are black-hearted pieces of shit. We have a very small circle here of politically minded, smart people, and it is a very small circle. If you're listening to this show right now, go vote, you pieces of shit. Jesus fuck.
I think the other thing is that Tennessee and right-wing states does a very good job of making sure that they don't have any interest in politics. And so, by and large, none of the people who I mentioned before, even the ones, except for the one who listens, but they should know that go and vote.
Well, that's
but
why, I mean, like,
they
Knoxville
they
loves pride because that brings money, but they want to attack LGBT people. They want to act like they're progressive. Knoxville wants to act like they're progressive, but they hate
LGBT. Yeah, but so does every other corporate company during fucking Pride Month when they slap a Pride logo on everything and then just after that
because
month's
rainbow
done.
Capitalism.
Cause, yeah, because that war
while,
is already...
While still donating towards GOP that, candidates.
Yeah, because the war, the social war on gay people at least, maybe not trans people, but the social war on gay people has been won on the side of gays. But as far as Republicans, they still use it as a talking point.
But they're also very good at keeping these people ignorant and not interested. And as long as they are disinterested, they remain apathetic. As long as they're ignorant, they remain apathetic. And that's how they're so successful in doing so. Because that's just when I talk to them, they just don't know. They don't know, and that's why they don't care. And that's that. And I don't know how to fight that. I don't know how to make, despite everything going on around them, if they don't see what's going on around them as a danger to their future. Their livelihood.
I mean, caring only about yourself is also being a piece of shit. If you're like, hey, you can vote to keep, like, you know, women and LGBT people safe, and they're like, well, I'm not neither of those. I don't care. I literally got into an argument with one of your.
I know.
One of like he can go fuck himself. Like I should have slapped that bitch around.
Yeah. No, firstly, he wasn't my employee. He was just.
He was a partner.
Of one of my employees.
Well, he was a dumb bitch.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And anyone with it, like I said, if that's their problem, that they are part of the ruling class of the white male, then they have white male privilege. I am a white male. I am a white straight male. But I will fight harder than anybody. Like, I don't have... I'm a white straight middle class male! And I will fight harder than fucking people that are getting destroyed by this shit.
I'm kind of in the same boat with you there. I mean, it's weird that I... feel like I don't feel like I have to do this, but I kind of feel like I have to do this because
we're empathetic people.
I'm empathetic people. Right? I'm empathetic to I'm watching the lives that are being affected by these disastrous policies and how it's only going to get worse for the next generation. And climate change is just another thing that's being heavily ignored. It wasn't even on the ballot this year. No one even fucking cared about that.
I mean, the climate change is just fucked. That's a total another topic. But even if America got all their shit straight, we still can't control what the rest of the world does. Like, that issue's over. The world's ending. Like,
yay!
It doesn't. Like, it's already fucking over. Like, that's why they don't care anymore, because there's nothing we can do. They're like, okay, well, I guess we'll keep using coal because China and India is too. It's too late. So the Gen Z population can either go and fight or stick their fucking head in the ground like a bunch of dumb ostriches. And in Tennessee, they stuck their head in the ground.
They sure did. But we did avoid the disastrous calamity that I thought going into election night we would be facing. Some states did show through, but Tennessee did not. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens for the next 2 years and what happens on Tuesday when Trump makes his announcement.
We'll be here. We'll be here. Could keep tuning in. We'll tell you about how fucked we are.
All right, sounds good. All right, well, that's going to wrap us up for episode 87 of Apostates on the Fringe. Thank you guys again for joining us this week. As always, check us out on social media. If you'd like to get links to the articles or to contact the show, visit us at apostatepod.com. If you would like to be one of the few who are contributing to our Patreon to help grow and support the show, head on over to patreon.com/apostatepod. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we greatly appreciate if you would sign up on a monthly basis. If you can't do that, head on over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast player. Leave us a 5-star review everywhere we can. Share out the show, but we will see you all next week.
Fuck apathetic non-voters. I'll go with that.
Fuck Herschel Walker.
Fuck it all. Practice throwing bricks. Thank you all very much.
Views and opinions of the hosts of Apostates on the Fringe do not represent the views and opinions of the Atheist Society of Knoxville. For links to all our musical contributors, go to apostatepod.com and check the About Us page. A big thank you to Michael Scott Arden, who allows the show to use his full catalog.